Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to this inspiring message from Andrea Thompson.
I am so excited to be together. I have my tea and my Bible in hand, and I am ready to go. Thanks for inviting me to spend this time with you. Today we are going to embark on a journey of renewing our mind with practical steps in how your beliefs and behaviors will align with God's truth. Do you have your Bible out? Are you ready? Well, let's turn with me to Romans 12. But before we dive into the Word, I am reminded of this fascinating story. I remember this friend of mine was passing a bunch of elephants. My friend was amazed, confused by the fact that these huge creatures were being held by only a small rope tied to their front leg. No chains, no cages. It was obvious that the elephant could at any time break away from the ropes. They were tied, but for some reason, they did not. My friend saw a trainer nearby and wanted to ask why these beautiful, magnificent animals just stood there and made no attempt to get away. "Well," the trainer said, "when they are very young and much smaller, we use the same size rope to tie them. And at that age, it's enough to hold them. As long as they grow up, they are conditioned to believe they cannot break away. They believe the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free." My friend was amazed. These animals could at any time break free from their bonds, but because they believed they couldn't, they were stuck right where they were. In my 47 years of life, I have come to understand that what we believe helps to determine how we behave. My beliefs and my behavior, though they have matched up, I can honestly say, had caused a distorted way of thinking for me up until about 10 years ago. So now let's read Romans 12:2. "And do not conform to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you." And I want to go up to verse 1. I always like to read the second verse first and then go up to the first, because now it's going to tell me how I do it. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. In order for us to go from being a victim to being victorious in all areas of living, we need to take everything we do in life, from the time we go to bed at night until the time that we wake up in the morning, and bring it to the Lord. By doing this, we begin the process of renewing our minds. It's not a one-time thing. It's continual. Hence the verb being used in Romans 12:2, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, in Joshua 1:5, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." And Joshua 3:10 says, and this is Joshua talking, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite." So I want you to know that God will remove every obstacle, every stronghold, every toxic thought, word, person, place, or thing in order for you to enter your promised land by the continual renewing of your mind. The awareness of God's presence energizes us for our work. So before we dive in, let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. We invite you in this time as we gather together to hear your word, to be transformed by it, to be renewed, and for you to do an overhaul in us. And we thank you and we give you permission to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, people like the idea of renewing their mind, but most people don't want to take the necessary steps and fight for the continual renewing. The world will conform you, but the Word of God will transform you. On our journey today, I'm going to lay out 5 steps for you on how to continually renew your mind so that you will be equipped in the day of battle. It's important to understand that even when we set out to purposely position ourselves in a posture to receive God's renewing, which, by the way, is key to experiencing new life in Christ, it doesn't necessarily happen overnight. For me, I have positioned myself purposely for God to do an overhaul in my thinking in order to be and do all that He has called me to do. But it has been continuous and is still continuing. And it's not going to stop this side of heaven unless I choose to step out of His presence and into the way of the world system of conformed thinking. So I just want you to think about, take your skin for instance. It's the largest organ on your body. Our skin tells us a plethora of information of what is happening on the inside of us. We wind up applying a lot of topical ointments, medications, etc., to clear up any irritation and inflammation. And that's not necessarily a bad thing of what's going on. But during this specific journey that I have been on over the past 10 years, I have learned so much about looking inward to heal in order for the external to be healed. Same thing with renewing our minds. When you read, meditate upon, and then apply God's word into your daily life, you are being changed from the inside out. I have also noticed that when you and I begin to reflect the very nature of God's character, others will be able to taste and see that the Lord is good through you, and that you will have significant impact on those you will meet along your journey. So the key in renewing your mind, changing your mindset, and having the mindset of a champion is to take ownership and responsibility for your actions, words, thoughts, habits, and behaviors. I like to tell people that it's not a wagon you fall off. It's that something triggers you and you wind up reverting back to old ways, habits, and behaviors. It's familiar and in some ways comforting, sometimes a false sense of comfort, but nonetheless comfort. But what if we became so familiar with God and His truth that not only does it become familiar and comforting, but more importantly, freeing? I didn't realize how key this was until August 1st, 2012, when I was blindsided by a deadly diagnosis of cancer. I will never forget the morning of August 1st. 2012 at 8:30 in the morning, and I was on my way to Los Angeles to a conference, and I was making a plane change from the Phoenix airport, and I got off the plane and I'm waiting to get on board, and I had had a checkup like a week before and everything, you know, was fine. So I got the call, I listened to the message, and I wound up calling my doctor back because it was not like him to leave a message and say, call me as soon as possible. And so I did. And I will never forget the words that came out of his mouth. And he said, Andrea, I'm really sorry to tell you, but you have cancer. Now, I just remember that airport that day was so busy and everything was going on. But what became such a busy airport was now silent, motionless, and empty. And all I wanted to do was to be able to take back those words that he said to me. But I couldn't. And so when I hung up with him, my mind was going in all different directions you can only imagine. But I do remember there was two specific thoughts that I had that came to my mind. And the first one was the thought of death. And the second one was the thought of losing my hair. And well, if you would know who I am, I'm a Jesus girl doing real life, so the thought of losing my hair was probably actually first before the thought of death, because I knew that if I would die, I was going to go to heaven, and it didn't matter what my hair looked like. But the thought of walking this earth with no hair was really not conducive for me or anyone else that had to see me. That's just me being honest to you. And so my mind, I knew at that point I had so many decisions and that I needed to make. And I was scared. I mean, I was scared to death. At that moment, my entire life changed and I was in the fight for my life. Now, I don't know about you, but has there ever been a time where someone said something or you found out something and all you wanted to do was take back those words, but you couldn't, and everything changed in a millisecond? But I knew that my mind needed to be so clear and emptied of my thinking and the world's thinking and the things that were being said to me so that I could fill my mind with the wisdom of God. I still did it, even scared. It's okay. Give yourself permission to do it scared. Well, there is this scripture that came at the perfect time for me, because I remember when I came back from LA and I was getting ready to head over to my doctor's office to discuss my options. I remembered this verse in Joshua chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, and it said, "Prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it." So I want to encourage you to take possession, not just of your things, but to take possession of your mindset. In other words, take accountability and responsibility. It is so easy to blame everything that happens in our lives on somebody or something other than ourselves. Well, I came to understand that taking accountability and responsibility for our actions, words, decisions we make, our shortcomings, weaknesses, etc., even taking accountability over the cancer that was wreaking havoc in my body. Let me tell you, cancer didn't make me sick. I was already sick, sick for years before it showed up. It was a culmination of many things, including the things that happened to me in the past, which I talk about in my first teaching on how your pain has a purpose and how to live from victory and not from a place of victim. I am not sure if anybody played the part of victim better than me, but I'm pretty sure that I would have won the Academy Award for that. But I encourage you to get that teaching if you haven't and listen to it. So not only from what others did to me or what I spoke over myself or the foods that I was eating or the environment that I was in mentally and physically, all these things which again were wreaking havoc in my body and mind. But when I was able to get a grip on my mind, and by the way, it was not about taking on blame and shame, but when I was able to grab on to God's truth that said in Joshua 1, verse 13, "The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land." I knew as I grabbed a hold of myself, my provisions, took accountability, that God would give me rest for my body and give me health and healing to the land, which, think about it, is our spirit, our physical body, and our soul, which is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. So as we dive into specific steps to move you from point A to point B, I want you to embrace a healthy perspective of taking accountability and responsibility for your mind and allow God to begin to transform you from the inside out. These next few steps I'm going to share with you have gotten me through some of the most difficult life situations. From wanting to commit suicide, getting me through a divorce, abuse, abandonment from my father, being 100 pounds overweight, to an eating disorder, to having absolutely no self-esteem, feeling so uncomfortable in my own skin, miscarriages, forced into the sex industry for 10 years of my life, and to fighting and beating cancer naturally. Seriously, you need to download my last message on pain if you haven't. Hey, you know what? Let's just stop for a second. Let's go back to when I said how uncomfortable I was in my skin and the lack of self-esteem I had, because there are so many of us that have or still are believing the lie that you're ugly or you're fat or you're unlovable or you're not good enough or you want to look like someone else. And you feel like it's all about a certain size. When I finally get to that right size, that I will be perfect. For years, I suffered from this until one day about 5 years ago, shortly after my diagnosis with cancer, I was feeling this way. And a friend of mine literally walked me through something that empowered me and helped me to overcome those lies that I was believing about myself. So I will never forget, he had me stand in front of a mirror and he wanted me to really look at myself. Now, it was kind of a little awkward, even though I was the only person in the room, me and Jesus, and I was standing there at this mirror and I'm just having to stare at myself. And it was actually quite uncomfortable because, again, I was so uncomfortable in my own skin and I would say that out loud. And I remember that as I was standing in front of that mirror, staring at myself, I remember the Lord started just speaking to me. And I remember in my spirit, it was like he was just saying, you know, every time that you say that you're uncomfortable in your skin, what you're really saying is that you're uncomfortable with me. Because you see, I'm the one that created that skin. And so I remember looking, and then I started thinking and processing in my mind, and I started seeing myself the way that God was seeing me, and he was seeing me perfect. He created me, and he didn't make mistakes, and he didn't make you a mistake. He made you exactly the way he wanted to. You're not an afterthought. I wasn't an afterthought. So, you know, maybe for you, it's going to be about stepping in front of that mirror and getting comfortable in the skin that God created. You know, it's one thing to show up for duty, and it's quite something else to go to battle. So are you ready? Let's step forward together to the front line. So step one to renewing your mind is grab your Bible. Well, I'd already asked you to do that in the beginning, but if you haven't, grab it now. And if you don't have one, get one. And you know, you can even download the Bible app right to your phone. And what I want you to do is I want you to pull out every scripture that you can find for the season that you are in. In my first book, Jesus Girl Doing Real Life, I outline key points to victory. And the first is daily walking with God. Remember, it's the Word of God that changes, shapes, and renews your mind. So for example, when I was battling cancer and the doctor told me that I had a year to live, I went home and I pulled out every scripture that I could find on healing. Not once did the Lord say, Andrea, you're going to die. Everything I pulled out of his word was, you will live and not die. Everything from, I have healed you from all diseases. By my stripes, you were healed. I am the God who heals, and on. I also noticed that every person who asked Jesus to heal them, he did. Aren't you just so thankful that God's expiration date for you is not of this world? I know I am. So step one, pull out every promising scripture that you can find for the season that you are in. Maybe your situation is not regarding your physical health. Maybe it is. But maybe it's finances, relationships, your marriage, your job, anxiety, depression, and addiction. Whatever it is, get in his word and pull out the scriptures that are very specific to the season that you are in. Step two to renewing your mind is begin declaring those scriptures over yourself, whether you feel like it or not. By the way, renewing your mind isn't a matter of waiting until you feel like doing it. Because by the time you feel like it, that stinking thinking is set in with thoughts that are toxic to your health and healing. So when you begin declaring God's word over your life, your mind shifts into agreement with God's kingdom versus the world's kingdom. Declarations empower the way you live, think, make decisions, see things, and then respond to them. Steve Backlund said, "Nothing happens in the kingdom unless a declaration is made." So my question to you is, what are you speaking over yourself? What are you declaring? What kingdom are your words partnering with? You have a choice to declare life or death. About 3 weeks after my diagnosis, I was in my bathroom and the Lord took me back to a time when I first began declaring death over myself. Oh yeah, I did. I didn't even know it. And I remember when he took me back to that time, he wasn't condemning me. He wasn't shaming me. He wasn't making me feel guilty. But there was something that he wanted to deal with me that was inside of me. And he showed me where for years I was partnering with the lie that I would die over some female issue with myself. And lo and behold, I get cervical cancer. And so I remember that day he took me in the bathroom and he said, "Baby girl, we are going to break that off and we are not going to partner with that lie anymore." So I remember getting on my knees. And so for you, maybe you need to get on your knees right now. And maybe there's some lie that you have been believing and now it's bubbling up inside of you and it's time to break that off. So I'm going to walk you through the very simple prayer that I did that time 5 years ago when I was no longer going to partner with that lie that I was going to die. So for you, I want you to just repeat after me and say, "I no longer partner with the lie of," and I want you to fill in whatever that blank is for you. And then I want you to say, "Instead, I partner with God's truth. I partner with His peace, His healing, His love, and who He says I am." Devotions and declarations will set the direction for your life. If you aren't sure where to begin, that's okay. Ask God. Ask Him for His perspective on what you should be declaring. He says, if you seek Him with all your heart, you will find Him. Seek His wisdom. Also, another thing that you can do is partner with other people who may be going through similar situations and make declarations over each other. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be intimidated. I mean, we're all in this together. A raindrop is a very fragile thing, but when you put enough of them together, you can defeat an army. Every scripture I found on healing, I wrote down in a notebook, on sticky pads, you name it. I posted them everywhere, in my bathroom, on the vanities, in the refrigerator, in my car, in my Bible, in my closet, so that I would constantly be reminding and renewing my mind of the truth. Facts are one thing, but God's truth overrides every earthly fact. Matthew 4:4 says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." In other words, we cannot just think our way out of things. We must speak our way out of our situation and our circumstances. In my case of my doctor, who was my doctor for over 20 years, and he wasn't purposely trying to speak death over me, but nonetheless, he was making a deadly declaration over my life with only giving me 1 year to live. I needed to come in agreement with the kingdom of life and speak it out loud over myself. I said in my first teaching on pain that one of the biggest lies of the enemy was to keep everything locked up inside so that you could never fully be free. So let's just pause for a moment and let's practice declaring God's truth over yourself. So I just want you to repeat after me. It doesn't matter where you're at, if you're in the car, if you're in the bathroom, if you're eating, if you're at work, it doesn't matter. Just for one moment, I just want you to stop and I want you to say, "From this day forth, the best days of my life are ahead of me." Yeah, that was pretty good. I think we should try that again. I want you to say it like you mean it. So, from this day forth, the best days of my life are ahead of me. Yeah, that was better. That was good. Also, when I am declaring scripture, I will insert my name to make it personal. You see, the word is alive and active. So if it was for Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Peter, Paul, or Mary, it is still for you today and just as powerful. You know, supplements and medications will have expiration dates to let you know they lose their potency, but not God's word. It's just as powerful yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So for example, the scripture, no weapon formed against you will prosper. I will say, Andrea, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You see, we have a personal relationship with our God. So make this very personal. I truly believe our faith grows as we declare God's word and allow it to renew our mind. After all, God created the world by declaring it, speaking it into being. Words are quite powerful. So step one was pulling out scripture for the season you are in. Step two was to make declarations with those scriptures. Write them down, speak them out loud, and make them personal by putting your name in those declarations. And get together with others and make declarations over each other. Now, on to step three, which may be one of the most challenging steps yet. So step three to renewing your mind is you need to accept the process and accept where you are in the process. A good formula to keep in mind is this. You hear the promise, you go through the process, and then you get the promotion. So the promise plus the process equals promotion. You know, they call this generation, among many things, the microwave generation. I mean, we want everything now, don't we? After spending much time speaking across the country, I have come to realize that we live in a society where we have become tolerant instead of resilient. But as you and I continue to embark on this journey together, we will begin to change that. And as I stated earlier, people like the idea of renewing their mind, but people don't want to take the necessary steps and fight for it. Don't get me wrong. When I found out that I had cancer, I prayed like you would not believe that God would remove and uproot that cancer out of my body. I didn't want to have to deal with it. I just wanted it gone. Don't misunderstand me. I know that he could have done that in a millisecond. But I also know that because I had to walk out a very specific process of my healing, he wasn't placing judgment and punishment on me either. But through his divine process, I gained such wisdom, knowledge, and allowed the measure of faith he deposited inside of me to come forth and be used for his glory, and now for so many people. I mean, I get the honor of ministering to them on the truth about what cancer really is. I don't fear faith, for faith is the victory, and it takes great faith to walk through the process without cutting corners. This reminds me of the story of David and Saul when David had the opportunity to kill Saul, but David never crossed that line. He would always say it wasn't his right or authority to kill what God anointed. So now I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 24. And here we're going to see that David spares Saul's life. And I want to start in verse 4. The men of David said to him, "Behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I am about to give you your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you.' Then David arose and he cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. It came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had to cut off the edge of Saul's robe." You know, there is something to be said about the process. I remember the night that I was by myself in the bedroom after receiving the news that I had cancer. I remember getting down on my knees just crying. I mean, the ugly cry. And I said, "Lord, why would you get me through all the things of my past to get to this point and have cancer kill me? Why?" And then I yelled out to him, "Why me and why now?" And then I heard this, "Why not you and why not now?" I knew right then that this was way bigger than me. There is something to be said about honoring the process. What if David was so unsettled about cutting the corner of Saul's robe because in his spirit he heard God whisper to him, I wanted to give you the entire robe, not just the corner. Before I got into full-time ministry, I practiced in physical therapy. And I remember I would go to work every day, and it was a mission field for me. I mean, I got to treat about 150 to 200 people, and I got to lay my hands on them physically, and I got to pray for them, even if they didn't know that that's what I was doing, but I got to. And then I remember when God pulled me out of physical therapy, I had no idea, and when he pulled me into ministry, and it wasn't until a couple years later when I was at this amazing conference and I was speaking to 2,000 doctors and their spouses and their clinical assistants. And I was on the stage for 5 minutes and I got to speak into their lives after I was diagnosed with cancer and talked about my journey. And I got to encourage them and to build them up and to challenge them about who they were as chiropractors. And I remember stepping off of that stage. And it was then that the Lord said to me, this is why I pulled you out of ministry. Yes, those 150 to 200 people that you were able to minister to, I've got people for that. But I'm sending you out into the masses. I'm going to have you reach the masses. So maybe for you, it's trying to figure out how to pay off a bill or a debt. But you know, maybe God wants to take you through a process and he wants to bless you abundantly in your finances, but you aren't seeing what he sees. Or maybe you are trying to fix a relational issue, but God wants to give you a whole new paradigm on relationships. When we can take our eyes off of what we see in the natural and put our eyes on him and allow him to help us see the way he sees, our mindset changes and kingdom thinking steps in. It's a bigger way of thinking, renewing our mind to have the mind of Christ. It sets in. Yeah, I wanted an instant miracle with cancer, but I got something greater. Not only was I healed from cancer, but when I went through a process that gave me the wisdom to now teach others what cancer is, and it doesn't have to kill you, by the way. That is kingdom thinking. This renewing of your mind, however long, hard, and painful the process, it's got to be God's will, God's way. Hebrews 13:21. He will equip you with every good thing to carry out his will and strengthen you, making you complete and perfect as you ought to be, accomplishing in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. I believe this would be a good time to practice another declaration over yourself. So wherever you are again, I just want you to repeat after me out loud. I will not become something that I am not on the road of process to my promise. Yeah, I know that was a mouthful, so let's say that again. I will not become something I am not on the road of process to my promise. So step 3, honor the process, don't cut corners, allow God to bless you with the entire promotion he promised you. A renewed mind sees it from his perspective, God's will, God's way. So now we're at step 4 to renewing the mind. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as it is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So step 4 is to give yourself grace. Wow, this can definitely be challenging at times. When we can be the hardest on ourselves. Can I get an amen on that? As hard as it may be sometimes to impart grace on others, it can be that much harder to give our own selves the grace that we need to get through some of the most challenging circumstances of life. Grace, freely given, the unmerited favor and love of God. It's the influence of the Spirit of God operating in humans to regenerate, renew, and strengthen us. I heard it said, grace is the empowerment to do God's will. Not only do we have the opportunity to impart grace to others, but we also have the ability to speak grace over our own lives. Well, how do we do this? Believe it or not, it's by changing your heart. Remember when I talked about there being no wagon that you fall off, but that we revert back to old habits and behaviors? You see, when you and I confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and we make him our Savior of our lives, something so amazing and spectacular happens. We become changed from the inside out. Our thoughts, actions, and words become empowered with Christ's grace and love. I learned through my journey of cancer that disease is spiritual and begins in the heart. When I allowed the Lord to have my heart, I mean all my heart, every chamber of my heart, he did something that only he could do. He taught me to give my heart grace. I can remember early on in my cancer diagnosis when I made the decision to fight it naturally without chemo or radiation. I began working with a wonderful woman who was a naturopathic doctor in my area. And one day I went in for my checkup and I thought that I was doing everything right. I tell you, learning a whole new system of taking care of myself was no easy task. Simple, but not so easy. Kind of like learning to walk all over again. And this one particular day, half of the things that I had been doing were not exactly correct. Well, I allowed my appetite for previous old behaviors and thoughts to get the best of me. And I unloaded. I was fed up. I had it. I was so confused, not sure what I was doing, and so frustrated with myself. I mean, you know what I mean? Have you ever been just so frustrated and confused that you almost just freeze because you don't even know what to do? You really just want to give up. Ever been there? I mean, maybe right now, you're just feeling like you're ready to give up. Like, I mean, how many diets have you been on? How many of you have started on Monday and stopped by Tuesday at dinner time? I have. Or you are addicted to something and yesterday was your last day. Or you've spent 20 of your last 24 hours living vicariously through others on Facebook, comparing yourself to them constantly. And you say that, I'm going to fast from it. And well, as you're listening to me, you're going back and forth. From me to social media. You get my drift? Well, let's look at Proverbs 4, beginning in verse 20. My son, okay, now this is where you insert your name. Remember step 2. So I'm going to insert my name, Andrea, and you insert yours. Andrea, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart, Andrea, with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. When you get it in your heart, you will renew your mind. So, how do you change your heart to renew your mind? Well, let's go back to verse 23 that says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You see, the heart is the pathway to all renewing health and healing, mind, body, and spirit. And the way you change your heart is by speaking the truth, listening to the truth, and holding on to the truth. The remedy, so to speak, is to make sure that your heart is so full of blessing. So fill your heart with the love of Christ so that only truth and purity can come out of your mouth. And if you allow the appetite of the old behaviors to creep in, give your heart grace. I don't believe that there is a limit on how much grace we can receive for ourselves. God will never take you where His grace will not sustain you. So, how did my doctor that day handle the situation? Well, the same way that I'm about to do with you. I was so confused on what I was supposed to be doing. Again, ever feel like that? Maybe it's now. So stop what you are doing. First thing first, God is not a God of confusion. This is what my doctor told me too. Then we stop talking. We stop talking about my protocol, and we immediately went into prayer. And this is step 5 to renewing your mind. Prayer. You see, prayer changes everything. I know I've saved prayer for last, but prayer should always be your first response, not your last. Letting God's will be done His way requires you to draw upon Him. It means stopping what you are doing, thinking, and saying. I will literally lay myself on the floor, flat on my face. Or if I'm sitting in my doctor's office, it's dropping my head low in surrender. It's about getting in a position to receive from Him. His truth, His promises, His strength, His wisdom, His grace, and His love. I was never strong enough to make it through anything I endured in my life until I partnered with Jesus and allowed Him access to my heart in order for my mind to be renewed and aligned with His thinking. Prayer for me is a culmination of some of the steps I just outlined for you. I will grab my Bible. I will grab my note cards. I will make declarations out loud. I will allow Jesus to enter into my heart. I will allow His grace and love to wash over me. And I will stay there until something shifts. There's no magic time frame on this. I will put on worship music and begin to allow the atmosphere in me change so that my environment around me will begin to respond to what is happening inside of me. I have learned from a dear friend in recent weeks and months the power of taking communion. You don't have to wait until church to do this, by the way. I try and do communion every day, not because it has become legalistic or religious, but because I'm constantly in process of God's will, God's way, and there is so much power in the blood of Jesus. So I encourage you to partake in communion as often as you can. There isn't a set script on prayer, and you don't have to wait until you have your Bible, your note cards, or your communion elements. If something arises out of nowhere, and I can feel the old way of doing things want to ride to the surface, I will call upon the Lord right there, right then, no matter where I'm at. And sometimes the only thing that I can get out of me is calling out the name Jesus, over and over, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And there He is. He is as close as your breath. I just wanted to share with you the steps that I have taken in my journey to renewing my mind that have worked in my life when I have faced some pretty life-altering circumstances. They work. They have worked for me. They continue to work for me. And I am honored to spend this time with you sharing from my heart real life and the steps that I have taken to renew my mind and to gain control of my thoughts, my words, my life, and begin the process of seeing things the way God sees them. I pray this will be an encouragement and a useful tool for you as you journey through your process, shifting your mindset from a defeated one to that of a champion. Let's end this time together in prayer. Father God, thank You for who You are. Thank You that You continually do what only You can do. Thank You that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that Your word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank You that You have already begun the process of renewing and shifting mindsets to that of a champion and victor. May You continue to bless us beyond measure and give us eyes, hearts, and minds to see the way You see, think, and know. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you. thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Andrea Thompson. Our desire is that through our resources and tools, you will be inspired to take action and move towards overcoming any obstacle in your health and in your life. For more encouraging resources or to connect with us, visit us online at andreathompson.org. Remember, don't wait for tomorrow. Get started today.